babies are such a nice way to start people. Don Harold.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hello, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. In today's episode, we tackle a very frequently asked question, which is, are essential oils safe for babies and specifically safe for breastfeeding? I'll be talking with essential oil expert Christina Valadez, who has lots of experience as a childbirth educator and an aromatherapist, to help us really tackle this topic of what are the benefits, the risk, the safety tips, and whatnot of using essential oils while breastfeeding. We also have a lot of postpartum tips in here as well. So if you know anyone who has recently had a baby or who's about to have a baby, share this episode with them. Before the show, of course, allow me to share my favorite oil from the past week. I was cooking a lot for Thanksgiving this past week, and I decided to add a few drops of black pepper oil and nutmeg essential oil to my baked macaroni and cheese, and it was delicious. I really like cooking with black pepper oil specifically because I feel like it kind of takes the sharpness out of it compared to using, you know, the ground spice. And then nutmeg, of course, just makes everything feel more like Thanksgiving. If you're not familiar with black pepper oil, get to know this oil a little bit more. It's a really amazing tone. You wouldn't think it smelled really great, but it's actually a perfect oil to use in blends where you need to sort of tone down the intensity of blend. It has uses for things like weight loss, arthritis, digestive problems, fatigue, muscle pain, tobacco cessation. So there's a few ideas of how you can incorporate black pepper oil into your life. Now, today's DIY dugout recipe comes from Juliana Amez, and it's called the Better Baby Bottom Lotion. To make the Better Baby Bottom Lotion, mix together 1 tablespoon of raw shea butter, 1 teaspoon fractionated coconut oil, 3 drops frankincense essential oil, 3 drops lavender essential oil, and 3 drops gentle baby essential oil blend. That's a blend from Young Living that contains coriander, geranium, palmarosa, lavender, ylang ylang, Roman chamomile, bergamot, lemon, jasmine, and rose. Lots of oils there. It's a phenomenal blend. Just mix all those ingredients in a small glass jar and apply to baby's bottom when needed. I personally use a very similar concoction to this for my babies when they were born. Whenever they would get, well, my second baby, I didn't have essential oils for my first, but my second baby, whenever she would start to get a diaper rash or get irritated down there, I would use this, a similar concoction to this, and it worked so well. Just make sure when you're using essential oils with babies, you're diluting very, very heavily. Good rule of thumb is at least 1 tablespoon of carrier oil to every 1 drop of essential oil.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Well, I'm here with Christina Valadez, who is a mother of 3, and I just found out soon to be mother of 5. Woohoo! She is a registered nurse, a childbirth educator, an aromatherapist, and creator of motherlyjourney.com. She consults with moms to help them make informed decisions about essential oils, teaching the importance of safety and helping mothers know which oils to use to help support their wellness journeys. Christina, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. Well, I absolutely love discussing this topic. For listeners who have been with us a while, you all know that I have a background in childbirth education. I'm a doula. I absolutely love this journey that families go through and supporting them there. So blending my two loves of childbirth and essential oils is just, it's like heaven for me.
Yes, it is. It's for me too.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with give us a little background into the work that you do and how you ended up getting to where you're at now with helping moms and families with essential oils during this time.
Yes. Well, my journey started when I was pregnant with my first, and I was practicing registered nurse, but back then I didn't know anything about natural living at all. And in the nursing world, they really are not taught about natural living. So I didn't know anything about essential oils or any kind of natural living. But when I got pregnant, everything changed because you have to make different choices with childbirth and getting a doula and taking care of your body. So I kind of just dove into the natural world that way. But I didn't become an aromatherapist until later, actually, when I was pregnant with my third. And I started using essential oils because I had this terrible cough, but the cough just would not go away. And I got this aromatherapy book and I thought I was doing everything right, but I mixed the wrong oils and ended up being just completely sick.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Completely sick and throwing up. And the next day my husband was even like, it's because of the oils. You can't use them anymore. So that's when it kind of clicked for me that it can be done wrong within a certain setting. And I had to do some research with essential oils, and I figured out that I bought the wrong chemotype of thyme. So I bought not the lanolol, but vulgaris. This is what I bought.
Are you talking about the species of thyme?
Yes. Uh-huh. So I bought the wrong one and then I mixed it. And it's a very hot oil. So obviously I shouldn't have used it during pregnancy, but I did. And that's when I realized, oh, I should probably do some research with oils and how they're used within a certain situation. But when I was working with mothers in childbirth education, I noticed that a lot of mothers were asking questions with natural using products, and a lot of mothers were using essential oils, and I didn't have answers for them. So I just decided to become an aromatherapist because I wanted to give them the right information and I wanted them to be safe within that sensitive period of their lives with pregnancy and postpartum and babies. And I wanted them to know the right information so they can stay safe. So I started teaching them blends and working with the oils that they already have for situations within pregnancy and postpartum that they're dealing with. So that's where I am today.
Yeah. And what kind of questions would moms ask you most frequently that you feel like are really important answers for everyone to have?
It depends on the period that they're in. So within pregnancy, a lot of things happen within the body that is just, I feel like, magnified. And a lot of mothers have certain things that they're dealing with, like backache was a very common one, pregnancy fatigue, pregnancy swelling. So I would teach them blends with that can help support their health during their pregnancy. But during postpartum, everything switches because you have the hormonal shifts and you have a brand new baby. Your body's going through a huge change. And so they have different issues with trying to heal afterwards. So their most common concerns would be the emotional support that they would need postpartum, and then also how to just heal naturally and effectively. And that's probably my most common questions within pregnancy and postpartum. And also if oils are safe to use around their newborns, and which oils are safe to use around their newborns, because they don't want to have a reaction using their oils.
What's the answer to that question that you give?
It depends on the oils that they have, obviously. But if they have a certain type of oil that they're using that is helping them with congestion or colds, for example, I always suggest using an inhaler, for example. There's some hacks that you can do and still use your favorite oils. If, like, for example, peppermint is not recommended to use around newborns or even children under the age of 6, because they have a certain type of chemical makeup. So I just teach them to use like inhalers or put it in a different kind of setting, so the newborn is not open to a certain type of oil.
Right. Constantly around the clock. Right.
Yeah. And then you have, if a breastfeeding mother, for example, is using oils, and obviously if the infant is attached to them, they'll be exposed to that oil as well through the olfactory system. So always try to teach safety first when it comes to new or postpartum phase.
Yeah. And does the essential oil come through the breast milk as well? I bet you get that question a lot.
I do get that question, but you know what? There's not enough studies to show that. And I think that a lot of things are assumed when it comes to pregnancy and breastfeeding and children, because it would kind of be unethical to have a lot of studies done on pregnant women and newborns. So
right.
A lot of things are assumed, you know, like things crossing the placenta, and certain oils have been studied clinically in the postpartum phase, but it hasn't been studied to a point where they think that it crosses into the breast milk. So mm-hmm. I would say that everyone just kind of assumes that about breast milk, and then also during pregnancy and crossing the placenta.
Yeah. I want to cover so many of the little things you've talked about here, but first let's talk about what essential oils do you see most commonly being used during the postpartum period, and what can they help with specifically during that really unique phase of life?
Yes, it is a unique phase. It's only for a short amount of time too, because from birth to the time that the baby is 6 months is considered the postpartum phase. And I feel like a lot of things go into the postpartum phase beyond the oils. But like I said, in the postpartum phase, only a few oils have been clinically tested. So one of them is lavender, and lavender is just, I feel like, the king of all oils. Mm-hmm. And it could be used for so many things, and calming, and just the antibacterial properties that it has. But jasmine also was one of them that was used to uplift the mood, and sweet orange also. Ylang ylang has been studied. Rose and neroli has also been studied. But within breastfeeding, there's also other oils that are considered safe and that mothers can use for breast milk production, you know. But you have to look at the overall situation of like breastfeeding. Milk production, for example. A lot of questions that I get is, I'm not producing enough milk, so which oils can I use to just produce enough milk? But you have to look at the overall situation of the mother as well, because if the mother is, for example, stressed out, I would recommend different oils on top of some tea, for example, instead of just oils for breast milk production.
Right.
And yeah.
You got to be drinking enough water. You got to be controlling the stress. So yeah, like essential oils for stress, which could be inhibiting breast milk production, is very different than, say, an essential oil that may boost your milk production on its own. You know, it's complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I always look at the overall situation. And this is what I actually recommend to mothers as well. And that's why when I talk to mothers via consultation online, and I always ask them, like, what does your life look like right now? Let's just be honest. Are you overwhelmed? Are you getting help? Are you eating? Are you drinking enough fluids? Are you resting, you know?
And I'm sure 90% of postpartum mothers will say no to every single one of those questions.
Yes.
It's just the reality.
This is why I love working with mothers throughout the process of pregnancy and postpartum, because I feel like we try to work together to set them up for success after they give birth. But within like a stressful situation, a mother needs to just calm down. I always recommend like a nice bath with some lavender and chamomile, for example, where opposed to if she's really just having a hard time producing milk, or she's trying to produce milk in order to store milk if she's going back to work, for example. That's a different situation. And in that case, I would try to do geranium and clary sage with a massage on the breast in circular motions. So it's very different, you know, to set up the mother in the postpartum period. And also there's a lot of teas that help with milk production as well. So just setting up that plan and setting them up for success within the postpartum period and have them heal well is very important.
And we're back with Christina Valadez. We're talking all about essential oils during the postpartum period. Okay, Christina, I have so many questions for you. There's just so many common challenges and situations that mothers face in the postpartum. So let's talk about some of those specifically as they relate to essential oils that might help complement that situation. So the first one that comes to mind for postpartum is perineal care.
Oh, fun.
Yes, right?
We're talking about the fun stuff today. Yes, perineal care. Afterwards, it's very important. I feel like it's hard for mothers to talk about this, and this is when they start searching Dr. Google. But a lot of compresses can be made, for example, with essential oils that can help. And a lot of tricks can be used, for example, with the compresses, with just putting the oils on and freezing them for a few seconds or a few minutes, and then having that cool effect when dealing with the care. And there has also been sprays that have been used as well, but I try not to recommend sprays because you don't know. I mean, it's a very sensitive area, and I try not to recommend that, but also sitz baths with some just essential oils, but always dilute the oils before. A good oil that comes to mind is lavender, the king. And that is just, you can dilute the oil within the sitz bath and just use a 1% dilution, which is about one drop of essential oil lavender with the carrier oil of your choice. So that way it dilutes it properly. It doesn't stick to your mucous membranes, which would be very irritating.
So you would mix it with the carrier oil and then add it to the warm water with the carrier oil? Uh-huh. Okay.
That makes sense. So it kind of breaks up the oil and you don't have just because oil and water don't mix. I think that's chemistry 101. But we don't want that oil sticking to the mucous membrane where it's obviously highly concentrated. The essential oil is highly concentrated. So if there was some sort of a reaction that was happened, that would be very uncomfortable. So always dilute the oil with the warm water. Doing a sitz bath is what I would recommend. And also certain things that are just witch hazel pads are really helpful within that postpartum time as well for the perineum care and rest.
Mm-hmm.
Mama needs to rest.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, it has to heal because if you push your body, it's just not going to go the way that you want it to.
I remember for my first postpartum, the rest thing was so hard for me with the postpartum hormone shift on top of it being baby number one. So everything was new. Everything freaked me out. I had such a hard time sleeping and this was pre-essential oil days. Now I'm like, oh man, I totally could have put some lovely oils in my diffuser to help me just shut my mind down a little bit. But I know I would have been very afraid of, oh, well, are they safe to use around my baby? So I know you've talked about that some, but in general, let's say if we wanted to help support a mom, calm down her anxious brain, get some good rest. Do you have any blends that you are very confident that are safe to diffuse around babies?
Well, it depends on the age of the baby. If it's a newborn baby, it's hard to control the, for example, if a mother has a humidifier that she really likes to use. It's hard to control how much comes out of that humidifier. It's usually not recommended that babies be exposed to any sort of essential oils until they're 3 months old. And premature babies, it's different because if a baby is born prematurely, it's actually not recommended to expose the baby until 3 months after their due date because of their immune system and their lungs are not able to detox the way that adults are. So it's hard to control that diffusing blend. But starting at 3 months, if the mother wants to use a diffuser around the baby, I always recommend using it with increments like 30 minutes off and then 30 minutes on. And the reason for that is because the olfactory system, which the diffuser is coming through, is not really, it can't be overstimulated because after a certain amount of time, it already gets the benefit of the oil. And it doesn't need to just keep diffusing all day because your olfactory system will just kind of go into overload, especially with newborn babies around. So I always try to recommend 30 minutes on and 30 minutes off if they want to diffuse. And the safest oils to start off with, which is like baby safe, first essential oils is chamomile and lavender. Those are really great and relaxing. And I always recommend those two to start. But there's a whole list of oils that babies can start with starting at 3 months. So I think it just depends on the preference of the mother. But for calming effects, it just needs to calm down. Those are the two best combos that I can think of that are like my go-to. Even for my own baby sleeps, I always chose lavender and chamomile, even in a diffuser setting for overnight.
Is there a specific species of chamomile? I've heard there's Roman chamomile and German chamomile. I think isn't the Roman chamomile the one that's considered safest for babies?
Yes, Roman chamomile is the one. Although they come from the same family, the Roman chamomile is the one that's recommended to be used around babies.
So pre-3 months, because I needed help day three, right? So maybe a good alternative instead of diffusing, if you're on the more conservative approach of safety for oils, instead of diffusing, maybe rubbing some oil on your feet putting some socks over your feet, right? So that the baby isn't exposed as heavily to those oils.
That's a great way to have oils on your body. And also, like I said before, with the inhalation method, if you have an inhaler, it's so easy to make an inhaler. And those last for about 2 to 3 months. So you can get those inhaler sticks from Amazon fairly cheap. And you could just put your favorite blend on the cotton wick and just use the inhalation method whenever you need a calm blend that works really great for mothers as well.
Great. So another common situation during the postpartum for many women, in fact, about 1 in 3 women, right, would be cesarean care. So after a cesarean section, we've got a lot of recovery going on. We've got scar care, all sorts of things. Do you have any oily tips for those women?
Yes. You know, the cesarean section is very sensitive. Doctors always say to not put anything on the actual wound while it's healing. So always wait for the wound to heal and to put any kind of oil on it. If you want to use any kind of salve on it, if you want to do your own, make your own kind of mix with essential oils, always wait until it's after it's healed. You don't want to infect it. You don't want it to be irritated. The recovery is just not going to be fun. And so if a mother does want some sort of kind of stimulating oils or calming oils, I always dilute it to 1% usually, but always around the area, never close to the open incision wound. And I always use lavender. Lavender is just my go-to for a lot because it just helps with bacteria, it's an antibacterial, and then it also just calms the situation down. And any kind of bacteria that forms around just calms it down and helps the mother relax as well. So always stay away from the incision site though.
Okay. Great tips.
Yeah.
Now I know you mentioned breastfeeding already, but since that's such a common question, can we get a little more specific in there? I want to go back to something you said about doing the massage. Can you say again what oils you would recommend for that and maybe a dilution ratio and some safety Yes. tips we need to be aware of?
So for milk supply, it's geranium and clary sage. Those are the ones that are really helpful with increasing milk supply. And within the breast massage, what you would do is dilute it at a 1% dilution first. So 1% dilution is one drop per 5 mLs. And if you want to use more, then you can use ounces. But usually that's the common one for like a one-time use massage. And what you would do is you would start from the top of the breast and kind of go in circular motions to go down, but avoiding the nipple area because you don't want that oil to get onto your baby's skin, for example, or into their own digestive system. So you want to avoid the nipple area and just do that massage as needed and see if that helps with the milk supply.
How about for clogged duct or to prevent mastitis from coming on? Any oily tips for that?
Mastitis and engorgement are the most common things that happen postpartum. And the key to relieving engorgement and mastitis is to breastfeed often and to relieve the breast milk from being inside the breast. So a good tip is to have a hot compress. And this other hack that I use with mothers is a leaf cabbage, which works.
Oh yes, it works.
Well. And I was such a skeptic until it happened to me, but it worked. And just put some either clary sage or geranium on it, either even some lavender, but something to stimulate that milk to go. And I always tell mothers to relieve the milk until they feel comfortable. So when you breastfeed, obviously your body is, you're telling your body that you need to make more milk. So if you just relieve until you're comfortable, then that creates a healthy flow within the breast. And so that prevents mastitis. And if you have mastitis, then, you know, there's a lot of natural methods, I guess, people have tried with homeopathy that have worked. But also, I must warn them that mastitis is a bacteria infection. So they do have to reach out to their doc as soon as they see any kind of signs of mastitis, like a fever or just a red spot on the breast as well. So it's very important to know the difference between the engorgement stage and the mastitis stage. And if they think that they're going into the mastitis stage, it's very important to reach out early on before it gets worse.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with mastitis. It is no fun. But some quick mastitis tips in case a mom is listening going, yes, I need help. Keep feeding the baby from that breast, right? You want to keep feeding the baby from that breast so they're not, it's not going to transfer that bacteria or anything. And it's going to help relieve some of that engorgement. But the best way to handle mastitis, right, is to prevent it, which is to keep the flow going. So, you know, now the only time I got mastitis once was when I fell asleep. I accidentally fell asleep on my boob, like on my chest, and I pinched a milk duct or something. And oh, it was no fun. And I ended up massaging some grapefruit essential oil sort of around there. And yeah, I ended up not needing antibiotics. Thank goodness. I think I caught it super early on, you know, because I don't mess around with that either. I tell my clients, I'm like, call your doctor, like, don't mess around. At least get your prescription. You know, if you want to try to beat it naturally, that's fine, but have that prescription ready.
Yep.
But grapefruit seemed to help, which I find interesting.
Like,
I forget the word for plants. There's a certain word that talks about plants in the natural world and their shape, you know, their physical appearance and how that could relate to parts of the body. So for example, a grapefruit, you cut in half, kind of looks like a boob, right?
And
there's certain like other examples of that I think are really fascinating. But
yeah. And you know what else worked for me is a hot shower.
Oh yeah.
It's also so nice because it just is so relaxing. And then it also helps with the whole stress part of postpartum. If you're stressing out about your milk supply or you're just kind of like stressed out and your milk is kind of getting clogged, shower is a way to go. And warm compresses to relieve that engorgement. But I've heard that Phytoloca works really well in the early stages, which is a homeopathic remedy for mastitis. So if, you know, you're on the edge or you think that you are, Phytoloca is what I heard works really well in the homeopathy world out there.
Very cool. Yeah. And one more tip, but obviously we both love this topic. We could talk about boobs all day, but if you do end up needing to take an antibiotic for that infection, for that mastitis, make sure you follow that up with some good probiotics that can also transfer through the breast milk to your baby as well, so that the antibiotic effect on the gut can hopefully have a little buffer there.
That's a good tip.
One last thing I want to share is peppermint essential oil. I don't know if you've heard this or not, Christina, but the concept of peppermint oil decreasing your breast milk supply. I've heard this a lot. And I've had some moms say, it didn't have any effect on me. I personally, it did have an effect on me. I love peppermint oil and I used it a lot to like clear out my sinuses. Like I have a lot, I have a lot of allergies and drainage. So it felt like it really helped kind of dry out my sinuses. So it kind of made sense to me that it did also dry my breast milk up a little bit. I bounced back super quickly. It wasn't like a long-term damaging thing, but I wonder if that would help if someone's having like an oversupply of milk that's turning into blocked ducts or engorgement, if perhaps that might be something worth trying.
I have heard that about peppermint actually, but like, again, I said in the beginning, it's just not enough studies to show that.
It's all anecdotal, really.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like the chemical makeup of the oil. And I have heard that as well with some mothers having that effect with peppermint when they're using peppermint to not use it because it does dry them up. So I think that it's where the mother has to just kind of do the research on her own and figure out if it is working for her own body personally, because it's just a case by case basis, you know. But with peppermint, like I was saying, with the newborns, it's important to not expose them to that. They have a certain type of chemical makeup, which can actually slow down respiration. And that's where the whole thing with newborns and peppermint, eucalyptus, and rosemary is very big, because they do have a chemical makeup that has been shown to slow down respirations. And I've actually talked to a midwife in London that has seen that happen with infants. So peppermint is one of those things that, which is great for your sinuses, for example, but again, how you use it around your infant is very important.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
Well, thank you so much for bringing so many of these great safety tips in mind and so many practical applications of essential oils. It's about time for us to move on to our closing questions, but are there any final words or things that you want every woman out there to understand about postpartum and essential oils?
I would like to say that it is possible for women to use their favorite oils within the postpartum time. However, it's a very sensitive time, like you mentioned, and I think that women just need to look at the oils that they're using and actually make a decision based on safety in that time, especially with their newborns around. But I think that it's possible, and I think that this is a perfect time to be educated of the benefits and risks of certain essential oils. This is why I love working with mothers within that area. So I think that women just need to know what they're using on their bodies during that time and how it honestly affects them personally, and not just other friends that have used the same oils. And I always encourage mothers to do their own research, even on the blends that they're using, to see if a certain oil they have had a reaction to, or an infant can have a reaction to as well.
It all comes down to your personal experience, right? Everyone is different. Everyone's going to have different comfort levels as well. And I think we all need to respect each other's comfort levels, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Christina. Well, thank you so much. So moving to our closing questions, tell us, what are just one or two self-care practices you try to do every single day to help yourself stay healthy?
Well, I'm pregnant, so it looks very different right now, especially with twins. And I usually just try to wake up early. I have three other kids in the house that like to wake up at the crack of dawn. Right now, I take care of myself by waking up before them and getting that alone time in first. And I know that the postpartum time is going to be a little different, so I'm not even thinking about that. But right now, I use oils as an as-needed basis. If I have a backache, for example, like right now, I have some backache issues. And also with fatigue, I use oils, but I try not to use them every single day. And instead, I try to just live a healthier lifestyle with just the foods that I eat, with how much exercise I'm getting, if I'm calm, and just try to do a lot more self-care. And that's what it looks like for me right now.
Absolutely. Well, finally, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
I love this question that you ask your your interviewers, but I actually like this question so much that I posted it on my Instagram, and I got such an interesting response from people about what they think they should switch out. I personally switched out my all-purpose cleaner, and that was because I felt just sick from using a different, more chemical-based cleaner. And after a while, my body was just really reacting strongly to it. So I think it's because you're inhaling the scent a lot and the chemicals a lot, especially when you're in your bathroom and you're like incubated in there. So I had to make some changes, and that's where I started personally. And I think it's from there, it would be laundry detergent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's just, you put it, I just didn't even think about this, but you use it on everywhere, like your towels and your clothes and your sheets. So those would be my first things that I think you should ditch and switch for sure.
Great tips. Well, Christina, how can people learn more about you? I know that you do consultations as well, but where else can people learn about your work?
The best place is my website. So it's motherlyjourney.com, and there's a a free resource tab there that people can check out to see what kind of free stuff they can get. I have some printouts there for different stages of a mother's life, for kids and for pregnancy and for postpartum. And I also have my YouTube channel, which I started, that is just for natural solutions for moms, where we talk about different things outside of essential oils. I just kind of share my experience there with using natural products within my family, what worked and what doesn't work. And that's where they can go.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christina. We really appreciate you coming here and sharing all your amazing wisdom with us here on the Essential Oil Revolution.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. I can't wait for next week's episode. We'll be covering the topic of gardening with essential oils. So much great content coming up next week. So if you love your garden and you want to know how to deter pests, enrich your soil, and make your plants happy with essential oils, tune in next week. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcast so you can get new episodes downloaded while you sleep. And hey, if you aren't yet on our newsletter, get on it. We've been having so much exciting stuff happening lately with Black Friday, Cyber Monday. I know it's a little late now, but you don't want to miss out when we have special things going on. That's the first place to hear about it. You can subscribe to our newsletter by going to revolutionoilspodcast.com. Right on the front homepage there, there's a button where you can sign up for that. Again, that's revolutionoilspodcast.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.